Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, so glad to be with you once again, and it's a nice day out, and God has blessed us, and it's another day closer to the time when the Lord Jesus comes back and turns this earth into a paradise. And the greatest thing is that the God that created us, that has all power in heaven and earth, he has power enough not only to give his word, but to keep it. And he promised to keep it. And he says, I pray not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me out of the world. And then he says that I have given them the words that thou hast given me. So Jesus promised to give us his words, the words that the Father gave him, and then the words that he had. And the Bible says the word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. So in this program, we don't go along with the deists that believe that God gave the word and sort of left it to man to sort of keep it. We believe that God has power enough, Jesus has power enough to run the stars within a fraction of a second. He can use fallible men to produce an infallible Bible because he has all power in heaven and earth, and that we have that infallible Bible in the authorized King James Bible. And the deists, they believe that, they said, well, I guess we'll never know what the originals say. And yet, if you read even the corrupt Bibles, they tell us what the Word of God is, and the Word of God, it always points to the King James Bible like a laser beam. So we talk about those verses, and we just thank God to today that we can look at the, like James says, we can look at the perfect law of liberty, the perfect Word of God that we have in the authorized King James Bible. I like to call it the King Jesus Bible, because it is the very words of Jesus God has given us in the worldwide language. But first of all, Brother Al Davis will make some announcements.
Well, thank you, Bruce. And just a reminder to our listeners that we are on live today. And if you've got a question, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's a toll-free number, 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the program here today if you've got a question for Bruce about the Bible issue. That's what we're talking about here. Also, reminder, you can check us out online. Go to whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. You can find out some background information about Bruce, some other materials that Bruce has that's on the website there, some past programs you can listen to as well, and even has an email address on there if you want to send a question for Bruce maybe in the future to discuss. That's whereisgodsword.com. And, of course, then our telephone number right now, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673 if you've got a question for Bruce. And Bruce, as we get started here today, I've got a question for you. I've had Jehovah's Witnesses knock on my door, like I'm sure many people have had. And of course, they don't believe that Jesus is God. They think he's the elder brother. They think he's Michael the Archangel. And when they tell me there's no passage in the Bible that says Jesus is God, I like to turn to 1 John 5, chapter 5 and verse 7. And usually when I do that, they kind of lean back a little bit with a smile on their face and they say, oh, that's a spurious verse. That wasn't in the originals. That was added. How do you respond to that, Bruce?
Well, I like responding to that verse. One of the things that'll shock them is I say, well, you got that from the Pope's Bible. And the Pope gave that to you. They don't like the Roman Church, and so they haven't been educated on that point yet. They'll probably get around to it, but that's the fact of it. Vaticanus and Sinaiticus have all these corruptions that you find in the New ASV, the NIV, or the JW Bible. By the way, the New American Standard and the JW are equal as far as corruption is concerned, and anybody that talks against the JW Bible, the Jehovah's Witness Bible, they don't know what they're talking about if they don't know that the new ASV is just as bad. It is awful. And like, for instance, taking the name of Jesus out in 100 places. But you know, so many preachers just been flippantly taught this, that 1 John 5:7 just slipped in. I remember listening to one commentator on the Moody station, and you know, I don't attack institutions or pastors. I don't like that because sometimes I feel there's jealousy involved. But boy, when they're attacking the Bible, I'm going to answer them on this program. And I'm not talking about everything else they're doing, but I'm just talking about the Bible when they do this. And this guy on Moody station, he says, well, if you have 1 John 5:7 in your Bible, it's just slipped in from the margin. And I wonder how many other preachers were taught that. Now, what they were not taught is, first of all, it's in the received text. And the received text is made up of many translations. And, you know, we talked about this on the program. God gave the very words that he wanted to the apostles. But not only did he give the words, he gave the translations also. And, you know, when he gave them the gift of tongues, see, when people got the Word of God, somebody spoke the Word of God, then somebody copied it down. And so he gave the words to the apostles, and it says, we go, the church is built on the apostles' doctrine, and he says the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth, but and then he would teach them things to come, so he would also bring all things to the remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So he would give them perfect recall of his statement, then he would teach them new things. And so, but then on Pentecost, he gave them the gift of tongues, and tongues is not a revival of Babel, it's a reversal of Babel. And, you know, they got a lot of pretending today, like pretending Bibles, pretending tongues. I mean, tongues, when somebody had the gift of tongues in the New Testament, and it is so plain, I don't know how anybody could miss it. But if you read the New Testament in the book of Acts, when they spoke in tongues, every man heard them in his own language. They didn't need somebody to interpret it. They just heard it. That was the miracle. And today I hear somebody saying, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, well, I always think to myself, where's the evidence? I mean, the evidence was that everybody heard them in his own language. And so God gave them that. And so the very words that he gave them were translated then. And so the received text that the King James is based on comes from the earliest translations. We see that in history. The Syriac Peshitta, the Italic Latin text, and Koine Greek, and all this stuff comes right from the earliest period of time. You know, I'm going to say another thing in background. Now, these schools, one of the first things they teach in everything they're teaching is so crazy and chaotic. Somebody says when somebody messes with the King James Bible, God messes with their minds, and I believe it. Because the first thing they say is no translation is inspired. So they go and study the Greek New Testament. Do you think that Peter and John spoke Greek? I mean, all the history books say they spoke Aramaic, and you see when Jesus was dying on the cross, I was comparing my King James with a Palestinian friend of mine, and Jesus says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. He says, oh, that's my language. Well, Aramaic is very closely connected to Arabic. And so how do they know if they say no translation is inspired that the Greek translation that they're, how do they know it was all written in Greek? You mean Peter and James were writing in Greek? Well, that's not what the books say, you know, I mean, but they talk like this, you know, I guess. And if they didn't write, they were unlearned and ignorant men, so somebody had to translate what they put down. And so there's a translation right there, but that's their fundamental thing. No translation is inspired because the whole thing is an attack on the Word of God, which he has given to us. The Bible says the Word of God is nigh thee, even thy heart and in thy mouth. Now, 1 John 5:7 is in the received text. And Metzger, who says that Erasmus, you know, used some late manuscript and says somebody find it, and then they found the late manuscript, and then he put it in recently, I understand that he has refuted that. I mean, he's not continuing to make that argument. Metzger, by the way, is not a very good person to listen to because he doesn't even believe the originals are perfect. And he helped put out the Catholic Bible. He doesn't believe the apostles got it right. He thinks they got errors because they don't agree with this Vatican Bible the Pope put out. And by the way, as we've said many times, even the Pope's photographs of the Bible didn't agree. So it's just, the whole thing is just so crazy. We have the Word of God. Now, 1 John 5:7, according to different sources that I have, Tertullian, who was the lawyer that in 200, this is one of the earliest writers, he wrote books, and he refers to 1 John 5:7. Then Cyprian, who writes in 250, he refers to 1 John 5:7. I suppose that just slipped into the margin, according to one arrogant ignoramus. It just is so disgusting, you know. And I'm sorry, and then Athanasius, who is very famous at the Council of Nicaea in 325, defending the deity of Christ, he refers to it. And, you know, we could go on, but even some of you that like to read John Gill's commentaries, who is a Calvinist preacher in England, Baptist preacher in England, and read many commentaries, and a lot of you preachers have his commentaries there, read what he said about 1 John 5:7. He believes that it was in the Bible. Now, you got to realize, and if you doubt this, you know, the stuff that we talk about is we got it in documented evidence. And it's by people that know the latest research in the world. They were, many of them were brought up on the chaos cult of deists that believe that God just gave the Bible and then abandoned it. And they know all this stuff. And you could read the factual evidence. Now, this book is called Hazardous Materials, and you ought to get that book and look it up if you have the internet, by Gail Riplinger, Hazardous Materials. And she shows that so many of the people putting these Bibles together are putting it based on text. Every one of these versions has a different text behind it. And she shows that she quotes them and she documents their statements. They're Unitarians. I mean, now, when they put on a translation committee, they may put on a group of maybe evangelical leaders or something on the committee. But, you know, the underlying texts that they're using are put out by Unitarians, Roman Catholics. I mean, one of the main individuals that make up the text is Archbishop Carlos Maria Martini of Milan, Italy. And he's on the translating committee, you know. And so verses that the Roman Catholic Church doesn't like, it's out, where Jesus, you know, they go and say, well, let's burn them all up in Samaria. And Jesus says, you don't know what spirit you have. So they take that out, you know. Or you could go on and on. Instead of saying, confess your sins, and the Greek word there is confess your sins, but then they change the Greek word because they're changing the text to another word that means simply confess your faults. So, you know, they now, or confess your sins. I get it right. The King James says confess your faults one to another, and the modern ones say confess your sins because the Roman Catholics would want that in there for confessing to a priest. But, you know, these people are so naive and gullible, and they don't study all the evidence on both sides. Somehow they have in their own mind, you shouldn't study anything except what you've been taught. Well, they've been taught a lot of times a bunch of lies. But so if it's 1 John 5:7, it's in the King James Bible, and Erasmus had it in the old italics text and the text that the Waldensians had, and they preserved the true text down through the ages, it would have it in.
Well, Bruce, and you look at that, unfortunately, a lot of people, when they pick up a commentary or a book on how to explain the Bible. I was looking some things up while you were talking about this, and I found a quote from Dr. Neil Lightfoot. Are you familiar with him?
Oh, yeah. He was a liberal
commentator. Yeah, he wrote this. He said, "The textual evidence is against 1 John 5:7. Of all the Greek manuscripts, only two contain it. These two two manuscripts are of very late dates, one from the 14th or 15th century and the other from the 16th century. Two other manuscripts have this verse written in the margin." That's what you were saying earlier. "All four manuscripts show that this verse was apparently translated from the late form of the Latin Vulgate." But you just talked about Tertullian and Cyprian, and I believe even Tarsian before them.
Tatian.
All quoted this verse, and the old Syriac, if I remember correctly, was a second century manuscript, wasn't it?
Yeah, Syriac Peshitta, they try to deny that. But see, these goes back to the, the God changed, the God translated text.
Yeah.
Syriac Peshitta, that goes right back to the earliest times.
I would think that a distinguished New Testament professor like Dr. Lightfoot would be aware of that, wouldn't he?
A lot of these people are Unitarians. I mean, he was a very liberal guy, Lightfoot was.
Yeah, he was a Church of Christ minister, I believe, as well. So, but, it just boggles my mind. Even the NIV has only late, it was a late thing that came in. Only, there's no Greek manuscript. Well, even if there's no Greek manuscript, what was the Peshitta written in?
That was the Syriac Peshitta. It was Syriac.
Yeah.
It would be the Aramaic.
Well, doesn't that count for anything?
Sure it does.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, that's one of the ways God would preserve his true text, because see, if, for instance, at the council, before the Council of Nicaea in 325, there's a lot of Arianism through that was influenced by Origen. So there's a huge debate at that time. It could have been that they took out that passage in many manuscripts. The Arians... Yeah, they would have done it, and they were evil, And then they could have taken that out, But what God did was he put these his words into many different translations so that we could not be just dependent on one, but we have a number of translations. And these were made, I believe, by the Holy Spirit when they had the gift of tongues. And the Bible says, when that which is perfect, and James defines that which is perfect as God's word, perfect law of liberty is come, then tongues would be done away with. So we see that the tongues were given also to give them the word of God in the many different languages. I think it's mentioned in 13 languages, something in Acts.
Right. There's a whole list that's right there. Let me give out our phone number again. If you want to talk to Bruce about this topic that we're talking about here today, about the Bible and the King James Version of the Bible in particular, or about this issue of 1 John 5:7, which is there's three that bear record in heaven, the Father. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And the modernists and all that try to say it doesn't belong in your Bible, you can give us a call toll-free. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And you can ask Bruce your questions about this as well.
Another book that I would recommend, and I hope you can get these if you have the internet, it's called Which Version is God's Word by Floyd Nolan Jones. And in there, he gives the documented evidence for the Textus Receptus, and it's very well documented. I mean, it's very, very well done. He did his homework, and so that's an important basis,
And Bruce, I'd add at your website, whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. They can actually link to an online PDF version of Which Version is the Bible by Nolan. And they can read it right there. They don't even have to wait for it to order. They could just go right onto your website, click on the picture, and they can also go to your website and they can click on the other one that you had mentioned, Hazardous Materials. There's a picture of it right there. And they can click on that, and that'll take them to where they can find out more about that book as well as others.
That's about, I suppose, 500-600 pages of detailed information that tells who's putting all this stuff out. And, you know, I've got to say that much of it comes from the Roman Catholic Church, because they have been always against the King James. But you see, the received text goes right back to the time of the apostles. And God gave the words, but he also had the words translated back then. And so these, the King James translators, they had like the Syriac Peshitta on the desk, the old italic text, and the Koine Greek text. And they had all these on the desk there, and it was translated based on that. But boy, I am telling you that they have been they're infiltrated today by every type of a doctrinal belief. You don't see that in the advertising. That's why we're on here to tell you. And we give you the source, too, and the information you can get it. We're talking based on the research of many detailed books on this subject.
And that's right, Bruce. And like I was saying, some of these commentaries and some of these newer versions, they do everything they can to cast doubt on it. And as I asked you at the beginning, you know, and when I was saying about how the Jehovah's Witnesses would smile, and I've done this several times purposely because, you know, I know that the evidence shows that it's there, but they always smile. That's a spurious verse, thinking they have you. And it's interesting how many of these people, like Dr. Lightfoot and others, want to use verses that the Jehovah's Witnesses or things that the Jehovah's Witnesses like that attacks the deity of Christ. And that gets back to what you mentioned before about the Arian controversy, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, I got to say this. You know, they teach there's no doctrinal, really doctrinal differences in these translations. Well, the early pages of the Jehovah's Witnesses Watchtower, I think it was called something else at the time, but a friend of mine told me that he actually found these pages and articles. And Russell, who started the Jehovah's Witnesses, said that when he was reading the American Standard Version, he saw some of the verses that dealt with the deity of Christ changed. And so he based his cult on the ASV. And, you know, then since that went dead, then they put out the RSV and then the new ASV and same old rubbish that's resurrected and then advertised. But he based his cult on it because he saw it was different. It was different from the Word of God in the King James. So there is a great doctrinal difference. I mean, you don't see it on the general statements, but if you check the words, yes. I mean, the words that are strong. I was witnessing to JW one time, and she got out her Bible, I got out mine, so I was going to show her the verses dealing with the deity of Christ. Well, they were taken out, most of them, but they're taken out of the new ASV and the NIV. And, you know, you got people that are wolves in sheep's clothing that promote this stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the idea, no major doctrines are harmed. I would think taking away one of the strongest statements in the Bible as to the deity of Christ and the unity of the Godhead harms the doctrine there, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, it's found other places. So I got to say, it says, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And in Acts 10, like the King James totally harmonizes because it's the perfect Word of God. And so it says they were baptized in the name of the Lord, you know, because the Father's called the Lord, Jesus called the Lord, and the Holy Ghost is called the Lord, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to get, you know, sometimes when they translate, they know what these different groups believe, so they change it to fit their beliefs, so they buy the books. But the Word of God says that they were baptized in the name of the Lord, and that's the name that the Father is called, and the Son is called, and the Holy Ghost is called.
Absolutely. And again, I want to remind our listeners to check out the website for Bruce at whereisgodsword.com. And Bruce, we got just a few minutes left.
Well, I thank God. You know, we have God's Word, and we can trust in it. And God says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is the big issue in life, is death, life and death. And the Bible says we're just like a caterpillar caterpillar crawls out of his cocoon and becomes a butterfly, and we simply leave our old cocoon, our body, and we crawl out, and we fly away. We're more alive than ever.
Yep, absolutely. Amen.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.